All right, everybody, welcome to another glorious week here at the Doe and 5-0 show. It is cold out there today, Joe.
Very cold in here.
It's cold in here. Nice, somebody would turn the heat on, just saying.
I did. And you can hear it running, but luckily we have something blocking the heat.
All right, we're going to go ahead and dive into the news here, Joe, where a strip club closed after food stamps accepted for lap dances and drugs.
What? What?
Out of Dayton, Ohio, a strip club in Dayton bit off more than they could chew after losing its liquor license following an investigation that proved that it allowed customers to use food stamps to buy lap dances and drugs.
That's funny shit.
During their five-month-long investigation, Ohio undercover agents used over $2,400 in food stamps to buy lap dances, along with a variety of drugs, including cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl.
Food stamps. Isn't it it's a card now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's
so.
A
what are these card. Girls with the lap dances? You swipe the card?
Where are they swiping that thing at? That's what I don't know. Well, according to the reports, the Ohio Investigative Unit began the investigation into 2250 Incorporated, a.k.a. Sharky's Bar, back in 2017, officially closing the adult entertainment establishment on Thursday, September 20th. Criminal charges were filed against patrons and employees for drug trafficking.
Wait. They started this in 2017?
Mm-hmm.
And it took them 3 years? I think they were part... Let me just make sure these food stamps really work every time. I'll be back in a couple
My card didn't
hours.
Work, I gotta try and swipe that again. regardless, criminal charges were filed against patrons and employees for drug trafficking, food stamp trafficking, distribution of heroin, aggravated shipment, engaging in a pattern of corrupt activity, and illegal sexual activity. Agents also filed 44 charges that were heard by the Liquor Control Commission, including drug sale, drug possession, engaging in sexual activity, solicitation, and food stamp trafficking. It remains unclear how the strip club was able to pull off its food stamp hustle, or how they got a food stamp machine.
Well, they investigated for 3 years. You'd think they had it figured out.
Investigation is still ongoing, pending all of those charges.
There's a crack investigative team, all right?
Yeah. How'd you like to have been part of that investigation? Holy cow.
Well, apparently they enjoyed it for 3 years. Honey, are you going to retire soon?
No.
In a little bit.
I got this one last case.
It's a big case.
It's a big one.
I need to get this figured out.
Out of Harlan, Iowa, man asks judge's leave for sword battle with ex-wife. Kansas man has asked an Iowa judge to let him engage in a sword fight with his ex-wife and her attorney.
Wait, he asked the judge if he can?
That's correct.
And the attorney.
He wants to have the sword duel so he can rend their souls from their bodies.
Oh.
David Ostrom, age 40 of Paola, Kansas, said in a January 3rd court filing that his former wife, Bridget, age 38 of Harlan, Iowa, and her attorney, Matthew Hudson, had destroyed him legally. The Ostroms have been embroiled in disputes over custody and visitation issues and property tax payments. The judge had the power to let the parties resolve our disputes on the field of battle legally.
I don't think that's legal. I'm not a lawyer, okay? I don't know. But
Ostrom said, adding that his filing, that trial by combat has never been explicitly banned or restricted as a right here in the United States.
I don't think it needs to be said.
He also asked the judge for 12 weeks' time so he could secure Japanese samurai swords. His motion filed in Shelby County District Court stemmed from his frustrations with his ex-wife's attorney. I think I've met Mr. Hudson's absurdity with my own absurdity, Ostrom said, adding that his former wife could choose Hudson to act as her champion. This goes on for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he's all about...
I think I know why they got divorced.
Dueling of the fates there.
He's not right. He's not right. That's funny. Can't believe that was in Kansas. That really seems like a Florida story.
Yeah. Virginia man charged with pulling a knife on Taco Bell workers because he was mad about their taco prices.
Was it a nickel?
Out of Falmouth, Virginia. Virginia man was charged after he allegedly lunged at Taco Bell employees with a knife after he's upset about the type of taco he received and their prices.
Falmouth, Virginia?
Yeah, something like that. Stafford County Sheriff's deputies were called to Taco Bell on Warrenton Road around 8:11 p.m. on Monday for a report of disturbance with a weapon. The 911 caller, a Taco Bell employee, told police a customer pulled a knife on him. When deputies arrived, they saw 39-year-old Octavius Hodges of Fredericksburg running through the nearby parking lot. Sheriff's Department spokeswoman said that the man only had 70 cents, so the employees gave him a taco for free. That was nice of them.
That was nice.
Witnesses told deputies Hodges was allegedly upset over the type of free taco that he received after he unwrapped it. He then began to argue with employees before he allegedly pulled a knife and threatened them. Employees told deputies that Hodges lunged at them twice with a knife. He did not injure anybody. Police dog named Gunner found the knife in a grassy area nearby. Hodges was ultimately charged with attempted malicious wounding, disorderly conduct, assault, and obstruction of justice.
They gave him a free taco, mm-hmm. and he didn't like the kind he received, the free taco mm-hmm. that he received. That's sad.
This next thing is just a 26-second video out of California. Mm. California police are on the lookout for a doorbell licker. Here we go. That's right.
He really likes that. Wow. And he knows there's a camera there. He looks at it. He's really getting into that. Look at it. Look how he's looking at it.
Oh,
baby. That's great.
That's all I got for this week of news.
We don't need any more.
Stay tuned for This Week in Florida. Hey, everybody. Welcome to This Week in Florida. We're going to start off out of Tampa, Joe, where Florida man had sex with his pit bull in front of his neighbors. It wouldn't be a complete week on planet Earth without some sick, twisted hillbilly humping something that isn't human story out of Florida.
Did you just come up with that?
Thanks to Bernard
really good.
Marcinek and his poor pit bull, we can now file this week under the complete category. According to the Tampa Tribune, police arrived at the 57-year-old's house after numerous complaints that he was literally going to town on one of his pit bulls in his yard. Shocked neighbors said they pleaded with him to stop, and they're pretty sure that the pit bull could have spoken English. He would have been doing some pleading as well.
It's a pit bull.
When the police arrived on scene, they found Marcinek sitting quietly inside his home, but they eventually booked him
smoking
on...
smoking a cigarette? Yeah,
they eventually booked him on felony charges of aggravated animal cruelty, two counts of being a felon in possession of a firearm, and one misdemeanor count of sexual activity involving animals. If you find yourself asking who in the hell would rape a pit bull, the answer is this guy.
Oh.
Florida man arrested after attempting to hire undercover detective to kill his brother. Out of Pinellas County, surprise, surprise. Man was arrested after a detective said he attempted to hire an undercover detective to commit murder on his behalf. The Pinellas County Sheriff's Office said on November 7th, detectives met 54-year-old Gary Hudge. During their meeting, Gary informed detectives that he was interested in having his brother killed due to a recent family squabble. According to detectives, Gary detailed financial disagreements between him and his brother and asked the detective if he was willing to offer for money. Over the course of several meetings, Gary provided suggestions on how the murder should take place and at which location would be best. He was on it. Gary also provided detectives several Michigan addresses for his brother and offered to pay for transportation to commit the crime. Detectives said Gary offered to provide undercover detectives with a gun and money to show his sincerity. In the final meeting with detectives, Gary did provide initial payment for the crime, and he was then taken into custody. He was transported to the Pinellas County Jail without incident. Doesn't say what he was in a squabble with his brother for.
Well, and I mean, how do you contact a detective to do something like that? I would think that, I mean, he looked like
he's... I'm guessing
like
they probably got a tip that this guy was...
Well, I mean, you're looking at him, he's obviously in connection with the underbelly of society. I'd imagine he'd know the person who would do it, but oh well.
Out of Winter Haven, Florida, a Florida man went all high-tech on his latest crime spree using hover shoes to skate through the local Walmart before leaving with hundreds of dollars in merchandise. Winter Haven PD released a video of the skating suspect as he whizzes up to the front of the store, then goes up and down the aisles picking up items he did not pay for. The suspect stole $551 worth of merchandise, including a TV, paint, trash can, flowers, and, incredibly, a hoverboard.
How did he carry all that?
Well, let's see if the video will load up here.
I've gone to Walmart and spent $200 and some. My cart is full.
So here's the video here. You can kind of see him floating on in. I need some shoes like that.
That is really cool.
I don't even have to walk.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
You know, you would think with the bazillions of dollars.
Oh, he has a cart.
The bazillions of dollars that Walmart makes on a regular basis, they could invest in some better cameras. I guess this is going to be him. scooting on out. He does have all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
There's a TV. I'm out.
I'm out of here. Well, they caught him, right?
Yeah, they're looking for him. Or did they catch him? Let me see.
Well, he didn't make any attempt to disguise himself. And you've got to know that you're...
No, I'm sorry, I
got to
finish that. So
okay.
He stole that. He did take off. They didn't catch him. He took off with his skates on, and he fled in a Nissan Maxima. That was his getaway vehicle.
Wow.
A study says these Florida cities are in the top 100 for STD cases in the entire country.
Oh, I bet they're proud.
A new study ranks Orlando, Gainesville, and Jacksonville among the top 100 of U.S. cities for sexually transmitted diseases. Tallahassee, Fort Lauderdale, and Pensacola also made the cut.
Good for them.
Where's St. Lucie?
It's on there.
The study was conducted by researchers with Interbody.com using statistics from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The research team analyzed the latest statistics on a city-by-city basis and developed their list in the top 100 cities in the U.S. with the highest STD rates along with the key trends. Orlando came in at number 64 with 932 STD cases per 100,000. There were 507 cases of HIV reported along with that.
Ooh.
Although no cities in Florida made the top 10, Tallahassee came in closest at number 14. That city had 1,502 STD cases per 100,000. The number one city on the list was Baltimore, Maryland, followed by Jackson, Mississippi, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I wonder if they're having a parade or something to celebrate.
What kind of award you get for that? Here, have some Vagisil.
Here's a silver bullet. Congratulations.
Video shows woman stripping at the Miami airport baggage claim. You see all kinds of things at the airport, but the people involved are usually dressed. Filmmaker Billy...
No, they're not. Have you been paying attention to the Florida stories? Most of them are naked with some sort of condiment and a Pop-Tart.
Filmmaker Billy Corbin posted a video on Twitter that got some attention last Wednesday. His caption read, "Because Miami." A woman is seen at the Miami International Airport wearing either a two-piece bathing suit or bra and underwear. She's walking confidently by while singing an unrecognizable tune. Suddenly, she begins to wiggle out of her top, then strip, never breaking stride. The uniformed worker steps into the frame, stunned at the sight of the naked person. Two women look on and start to snicker. The Miami Herald reached out to Tommy on the circumstances of the woman's public striptease. Spokesperson for the Miami-Dade Police Department said that the naked woman, who was seen on Twitter by another bystander, later jumping on top of a patrol car in busy traffic outside, was taken into custody Monday night for an involuntary mental health evaluation.
There's going to be an investigation that should take about two and a half years to do. But I'll tell you in a second whether it's going to be a two-year or a 15-minute investigation.
She's losing her top.
No, there. That looks like that's going to be a two-year investigation.
Yep, there's a.
There he goes. is that the security guy? He's not stopping her. He's just watching.
Yep, there's the pants. Yeehaw!
It's warm in Florida. Just trying to get herself comfortable.
All right. That's all we got for this week in Florida. Stay tuned for this week in Political Garbage. All right, everybody, welcome to This Week in Political Garbage. We're going to talk about, we got one story this week, Joe. A big change is coming to the Postal Service as search is on for a new Postmaster General. The hunt is on for a new Postmaster General, and same say whoever gets that job could have a big impact on how you get mail in the future. That's because the Trump administration wants to sell off and privatize parts of the Postal Service. Some who are against the idea said it will make getting your mail tougher and cost some mail workers their jobs. The White House said the U.S. Postal Service should be a private business not be a part of the government. Mark Diamonstein, president of the American Postal Workers Union, said mail service is too important to privatize. Everybody has the same right to have mail service, no matter who we are and where we live, and that would all be threatened, undermined, and done away with postal privatization. In 2018, Trump called for a task force to restructure or even sell off the post office. Now Diamonstein fears that are growing as the search is on for a new postmaster general. We're very concerned that they may bring in a Postmaster General to carry out the plans of the White House Office of Management and Budget. The Postal Service is losing money and owes its current and future retirees more than $100 billion.
Wow.
At the end of the day, Congress would have the final say, but an awful lot of damage can be done along the way, according to Diamondstein. The administration's Office of Management and Budget has so far not responded to requests for formal comment. Some senators, like Ohio's Sherrod Brown, said Congress should allow the post office to expand its business so it can turn a profit. We have set them up in some sense to undermine their success, and we need to back off and do it the right way. Diamondstein said that suggests that postal workers could do more than carrying mail, such as expanded financial services, paycheck cashing, and ATMs. Any real congressional act will have to wait until after the impeachment trial is over. So a privatized postal service.
I mean, I don't get a whole lot in the mail anymore. It's mostly junk mail now.
And you can keep your bills because we don't want them.
No, I don't want them. So we don't have any facts. We don't know what they're making, what they're not making, and
yeah, I mean,
I don't know what to say.
I don't have any facts either. I have seen many times over many years now. I mean, this shows it too. They're constantly losing money. Post offices.
Well, stamps are so cheap. I've been to the post office before. People buy a stamp and say, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's so much." I don't know what it is, 50 some cents, and they're mailing it to California. It's like, why don't you drive it over there, dumbass? What are you thinking? It's cheap. I think they need to charge more.
So
and post office workers are way overworked, and I don't know what they get to get paid, but I hope it's a lot because they always look so frazzled.
Yeah, and I don't know that answer either. I know that, again, they've been losing a lot of money for a long time, obviously. I mean, they even owe their retirees money.
Yeah.
That's not good. And then you take into consideration the fact, I don't know. I would say probably the invention, and we're talking about many years now, but when they started instituting fax machines and email, how much damage did that do to the post office? Because a handwritten letter, and even correspondence for businesses and stuff, that it's probably dissipated to almost nothing, I would think, at this point.
Well, and then they started mail service on, it wasn't always on Saturdays. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, right.
And they started doing that.
And now Sundays, they're in a contract with Amazon, right? So now they do, at least Sundays, they deliver Amazon packages to try and, I don't know what that's paying them, but some of those guys have. I don't know if Sundays are overtime opportunities or if it's mandated or whatever, but.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. For those of you, you know, whether you love Trump or you hate his guts, he's done a lot for the economy across the United States. And if, you know, maybe he feels that privatizing this in some way is going to help turn things around, why not entertain
The guy seems to have some business sense, whether you love him or hate him. Well, depending on what does Facebook think of him. Is this even going to be aired? Assholes.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of, for those of you that, you know, we apologize for last week. The show was going to come out a day late anyway because of our schedules, mostly my schedule.
All his schedule, not my schedule.
I had it ready to come out a day later, and Facebook wasn't having it for whatever reason. So, again, I'll encourage you guys to make sure you follow us on YouTube. I don't know that I've ever had any problems getting anything to upload there. So if you struggle finding the show, make sure you check on YouTube. Because it's pretty much always going up there without any problems. So that's all we got for this week in Political Garbage. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Hey, 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 Mr. Bowman.